Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapters 13 and 14. In these chapters, we have the reigns of kings Abijah and Asa, kings of Judah. Now, we will treat each of these chapters separately, following our normal format of background notes, doctrinal points, and practical application. Let's begin by reading about King Abijah of Judah in the first three verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 13. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set the battle in order with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty men of valor. Let's begin our study of these chapters with some background notes. We saw in our last talk from 2 Chronicles chapters 10, 11, and 12 that after the United Kingdom of Israel split, the southern kingdom of Judah followed King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, while the northern kingdom of Israel followed Jeroboam the first. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 15 that there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. When Rehoboam died, his son Abijah came to the throne, and we see here in chapter 13, verse 2, that war continued between the two kingdoms, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah is also called Abijam in 1 Kings chapter 15. From what we read of Abijah or Abijam here in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, we might get the idea that he was one of the good kings of Judah, but this is not true. However, in his war with Jeroboam, recorded here in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, Abijah did do right in denouncing the idolatry of the northern kingdom of Israel. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching point for this chapter. It is right to denounce false systems of worship. It is right to denounce false systems of worship. Verses 4 through 12. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David? And you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as gods? Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the peoples of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of things that are not gods? But as for us, the Lord is our God. And we have not forsaken him, and the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table, and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. For we keep the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper." King Abijah rightly denounced Jeroboam and the northern kingdom of Israel for their idolatry and false system of worship. They had forsaken God's covenant with David by following Jeroboam, who was not in the line of David. The Davidic covenant is called a covenant of salt here in verse 5 because it is a permanent covenant. Jeroboam and the northern kingdom of Israel had set up two golden calf idolatrous shrines for worship. Verse 8, the true priests of the Lord have been driven out of the northern kingdom and replaced with anyone who is willing to go along with this false system of worship. Verse 9, meanwhile, true worship of the one true God was taking place at the temple in Jerusalem. Verse 10. Notice how it was true worship because it was in line with the law of God. Verse 11. And that is the way true worship of God takes place today. It must be in line with the Word of God. To depart from God's Word in our way of worship is to travel the road to idolatry. And therefore, we must denounce false systems of worship. Any departure from a simple and direct approach to God through Christ alone is a movement towards false worship. John chapter 4 and verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4:24. It is right to denounce false systems of worship. Now, what about practical application for 2 Chronicles chapter 13? Let's trust the Lord and blow the trumpets. Let's trust the Lord and blow the trumpets. Verses 13 through 22. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them, so they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. And they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. So Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah grew mighty, married 14 wives, and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah, his ways, and his sayings are written in the annals of the prophet Iddo. In the battle, even though Abijah was outnumbered 2-1, the army of Judah defeated Jeroboam decisively. Jeroboam never recovered. And in fact, we read in verse 20 that the Lord struck him and he died. Question: why was the kingdom of Judah so successful in this battle? Answer: they trusted the Lord and blew the trumpets. Verse 14 and verse 18. Blowing the trumpets was in line with the law of God. I'm reading Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. Now in the spiritual picture, blowing the trumpet speaks of having a bold and clear testimony for the Lord. This is a key to victory in spiritual warfare today. Let's trust the Lord and blow the trumpets. Let's continue reading 2 Chronicles chapter 14, where we have the record of King Asa. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. So they built and prospered. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Mareshah. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Now, what about background notes for this chapter? We see in verse 2 that Asa was one of the good kings of Judah. Of the 20 kings who reigned over the kingdom of Judah, only 8 are listed as good kings, and Asa is one of them. The Ethiopians that came against Asa and his kingdom of Judah would have been from the area of today's Sudan, as well as northern Ethiopia and southern Egypt. Marishah, where the battle took place, was one of the fortified cities of Judah and located about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Our doctrinal point for this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, is as follows. It is right to destroy false items of worship. It is right to destroy false items of worship. We see in verses 3 through 5 that Asa not only followed the Lord, but in his reform, he destroyed the false items of worship. He dismantled the foreign altars and high places where false worship, even to the Lord, was wrongly taking place. The sacrifices of true worship to the Lord were only to take place at the temple in Jerusalem. Asa also cut down the idolatrous pillars and standing female deities, and he destroyed all the idolatrous incense altars. Notice God's approval in verse 2. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. It is right to destroy false items of worship, then and today. Now, we should not break the law in destroying false items of worship, whether in foreign countries or our own country. But we should do more than just denounce images and crystals and occult objects. We shouldn't own them, for example, even as collector items. Demons can still be associated with these objects. We should destroy these items if it is in our power and authority to do so. It is right to destroy false items of worship. Practical application from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Pray for God's sake. Pray for God's sake. Now make sure you emphasize these words in the right way when you share this practical application. Notice how Asa prays in verse 11. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. Verse 11. In other words, Asa is praying that they would win the war for God's sake. Too often we pray for our own sakes, that things would go well with us, that we would get a raise at work, and that we would not get sick, etc., etc., even that we would have good weather for our vacations. Now, all these prayers are not wrong, but how often do we pray for God's sake? How often do we pray that things would happen in our lives so that God would be glorified? That's the best kind of victory. So pray for God's sake.